Scripture reading this evening will be taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
Good afternoon to each of you. Hopefully you're having a good afternoon. These few verses that we just read from what Peter expressed in 1 Peter 2 here reminds us of what we are as God's people, chosen people, very special people to our God. And that idea is also brought forth in the little book of Jude. In Jude, in the second verse, in this little book, God encourages us as His people to stand strong for the truth, to contend earnestly for the faith. We have battles that we have to fight, like we talked about this morning. He warns about the dangers of those who would lead God's people away from the truth, the wolves in sheep's clothing. He brings to remembrance in this little book certain judgments of God against the ungodly in times past, including some angels even, and he exposed their ways with sharp rebukes. But he also tenderly urges us to be faithful to the inspired Word of God. And Jude wrote this vital message and the points that he makes in it to those, he says, who are called. To those who are called. That's us. We're the called people. Called by God. He summoned us out of the world and to be a part of His family. And tonight, as we look at this concept of God's call, we're going to look at the idea about how God calls. God's call in this world today, there are a lot of misconceptions about how God calls. We'll talk about, secondly then, a called man as we look at the life of a very special person in God's service that was called in the first century. We'll look at then the final point, the importance of our own need to remember our own calling. As individuals, we have been called. What does that mean we need to be doing? How does that relate to our own daily lives and existence? It's a special thing when you really reflect upon it that here we are, each of us individuals, we don't really feel that important, but we are called by God out of this world to make a difference on the world for the greatest kingdom, the greatest group of people, the family of God. It's a very special place and privilege to be a part of the chosen or the called people of God. So let's begin by talking about the means by which God calls. Because, you know, we read through the Bible and we find God calling people. Sometimes He's called people to specific work. Jeremiah was a prophet called by God. He was even chosen by God, called to a specific ministry before he was even born. God had a place for him and a work for him. That was a very special, unique calling. There are ways that God calls in a more general fashion. And when we look to the Scriptures, for example, turning over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we see how Paul speaks concerning those that he labored with, those that he worked with, and how they were called. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 13 and also verse 14. Paul says to his brethren, these are the saints in the city of Thessalonica, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning, notice, chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he tells them, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So he's talking to his brothers in Christ, his sisters in Christ, and he says some things here that are very revealing and important to think about, because this relates to how are we called today? You know, people talk about this feeling of a calling, that the Lord calls people to certain things. Well, the miraculous special callings, those aren't being done anymore. But God still calls people. He's calling people to be saved. He's calling people to His family. He's calling people out of the ugliness of worldly living and the death that it leads to a life of purity, sanctified living that leads to life eternal. He's calling people out of the slavery and the bondage of sin, which leads to death, and He calls them to being a slave or a servant of righteousness, Romans chapter 6, which leads to life eternal. And He explains it here. He is so thankful for His brothers and sisters in Christ because, He says, God from the beginning chose you. We know, and the Bible speaks of it, that God chose people, and there is the mention of this idea of an elect people, chosen before the foundation of the world. But what we need to understand about that calling is not the view that relates to the doctrine of Calvinism, which teaches that certain individuals are saved, and no matter what they do, how they live, they are locked in with salvation, and they're never going to lose it. But the same is also true of people that are lost. And if you were born a lost person, it's not going to change. The called are those who are called in terms of a class or a group of people. The called are those who do, like we read here. What else does he say? Here are those who from the beginning were chosen by God for salvation. Chosen for salvation. Who is chosen for salvation? How does this occur, Paul? He says it's through sanctification by the Spirit. So the Spirit somehow sanctifies people, sets them apart. Continue on with what he says here, and he explains how it happens. It's through the belief in the truth. Here are people who in their hearts are convicted of the truth, which is revealed by the Spirit. And the sanctification that takes place in the lives of individuals who come to God with faith, believing in Christ and all that God has revealed, it's a sanctification that occurs through this process. You believe the truth. The Holy Spirit sanctifies you. And it's a calling that he explains as well, to which you were called. You were called to this holy, sanctified life by, Paul says, our gospel. So this is what Paul preached. This is the message that he declared. This is what he spoke, not only to them when he was there, but that he speaks again to them through the written word that is being sent. The gospel or glad tidings was proclaimed. And this message, he says, leads to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a process that we see that involves a calling. And the calling is accomplished through the word that is proclaimed, given by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit calls people today. He leads people today, and He does that by means of that which involves His work since the beginning of time. When the Word of God was communicated, the Holy Spirit is the one who revealed it to mankind. Men were, according to what Peter declared, not speaking of their own private interpretation, but they were led by God in the ways of truth and righteousness. Now, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 something about God's calling as well. That God calls men for His purpose. So, Paul says to Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, concerning God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Now, this holy calling is what we just described. Called through the gospel, called through the word. He called you with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. We're called to fulfill the purposes of God. It's not a matter of our own devices, plans, works, anything along those lines, but rather God has a way, God has a system that He's established, God has His own works that we are to walk in, and when you fulfill the works of God in complete obedience, you're not working out your salvation by meritorious, self-devised works, but rather you're just complying with God's will. And whenever you obey God and do the works that He has given in His Word, you're not earning salvation. You're demonstrating a living faith, like James describes in James chapter 2. Without those works, in fact, your faith is a dead faith, he explains. Faith without works is dead, James says, being alone. So the calling involves the purpose of God. So if we talk about, I am called of the Lord, we have to understand it's a calling through the gospel. If I'm called of the Lord, it's called according to His purpose. That is, my life is all about doing His will and accomplishing those things that He has called me to do. Now, today, we have free will, right? If a man says, I have this calling to be a preacher, what does he mean? Is he saying that the Lord spoke to him in some direct way and that he was supposed to preach? He was never supposed to go out and be a doctor, but he was supposed to be a... The fact of the matter is, God calls us through His Word, and we have the freedom to choose. That's one thing that men are called to do, to proclaim the gospel, or to serve as an elder, to serve as a deacon, to be a mother, to be a father. There are many things we are called to do in life that we see are according to the purposes of God. But as far as someone claiming a specific, direct calling, it doesn't happen. Paul the Apostle had a direct calling. The Lord appears to him in a bright light. He was chosen for a specific work. Today, we can choose what we will do according to the purposes set forth in God's Word. But whatever we do better be in line with God's purposes and not the teachings and traditions of men. A woman might say, you know what, I have this calling to preach the gospel. Is that so? Is that true? Is that according to the purpose of God? She might feel a strong desire to preach the gospel. But if she looks at the Word of God, she will see that's not according to His purpose. When Paul says to Timothy that we are called according to a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His purpose and grace, which was given in us in Christ Jesus before time began, this again reflects the mind of God and the plan of God. So our plans must fit into His will. And whenever that's the case, it's okay. Man wants to preach the gospel, that's fine. Preach the gospel. It's not according to, you know, do you have all of these qualities that men say, okay, if you're going to be a preacher, you need to have all these qualities. Look to the Word and look at the kind of men God chose. Fisherman, Moses, who describes himself as one slow of speech. God's looking at the heart. He wants sincere individuals who will cling to the truth, who will never compromise the truth, who will do God's will. Someone says, this person will make a great elder. Better be looking at the qualifications that God has given. Again, it's not according to our purposes or our ways. God has His own purpose. And God's call is through the gospel and is limited to what He has revealed in His Word. And another thing we think about when we think about the call of God is that it is a calling, as we read from 1 Peter, that gives hope to humanity as a whole. Because notice what he says, 1 Peter 2 and 9 again, but you are a chosen generation. He's writing to those who are Christians. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who did what? Called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. His marvelous light. A part of the light, the marvelous light of God, is certainly His Word. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. The glorious light that shines and that shows us the way is the glad tidings, the gospel, the Word of God in its entirety. And we are called by the gospel again, we know that, out of worldly living, hopeless living, pointless living. There's a lot of things that people do in life that they're pointless. They don't amount to anything. Or there's the vain religions, the teaching and doctrines of men, that if they practice those and they continue to do those, what does it amount to? Vain worship. That's what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 15. In vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. How many people do we know whose lives, whose worship, whose ways are according to the ways of men, and therefore what they do is in vain? Our mission is to give meaning and purpose to people's lives by pointing them to the will of God. Out of darkness we can help them to come and into the glorious, marvelous light of God's ways and His will as revealed in the Bible. But another thing about God's calling, not so pleasant, involves suffering. Peter, in writing to Christians about suffering, he says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, he says, "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow His steps." In the context there, he mentions things that relate to the hardships and sufferings and persecution that Christians have to go through at times. And he says, really, when you think about it, this is the model that Christ left for us. A wonderful, hopeful life, a life of purpose and meaning, a life where the work that we're involved is the greatest work in all of the world. But understand from the beginning, the Christian life does involve suffering. But persevere. With God's help, then, we as a called people, from darkness to light, according to His purpose, through the Word, are also called to suffer. It's a part of the package. But it serves a good purpose, which we'll talk about later on. But let's consider next a called man. It's good to look at the life of an individual that is very, very much a model of so many righteous qualities and ways. And looking at the life of the Apostle Paul shows us a called man. Again, we know that his calling, in the specific nature of being an apostle, was a miraculous calling. He was called to fulfill God's purpose. The Lord told Ananias, Acts 9, verse 15, after Paul was in Damascus waiting, blind, "What am I supposed to do next?" He was told, "You go to Damascus and there it will be told what you must do." He's waiting. The Lord appears to Ananias. And one of the things He says to him, Acts 9, 15, He says, "Go. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." So, Paul had a special mission given to him by God as an apostle. But an interesting thing to think about is there's still an aspect of his work that is our work. Because Christians in general are to fulfill that same purpose of proclaiming to the lost people around us. We might never see a king. We might not go to a place way across the world, but we have people in our sphere of influence that are lost, that need direction. They've been mistaught. Some of them are fallen members of the body of Christ. There's needs all around us that we are to fulfill. And Paul, as one who was a chosen vessel in a special sense, we're reminded that we also are called to a very special and important work that is tied to his in a very real way also. Now, when you think about Paul's calling and what we just read in 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, or verse 9, it's interesting that the Apostle Paul was called out of a certain kind of darkness, not immorality or idolatry any kind of thing like that, but he was called out of the darkness of human religion, human teaching. He was a Pharisee, very devout, but very wrong and very lost. Think about all the devout, sincere people in this world that just need to hear the truth. We're a called people to take a message that can turn lives around. There may be people that God wants to use, and He may use us to get the gospel to them. Ananias was sent. Now, God's Ananias is not going to appear to any of us and say, "You go, here's a chosen vessel." But here's the thing. We need to be taking advantage of opportunities that present themselves to us, because here's how God works today. Through His providence, in ways unseen by us, He can bring about the crossing of my path and another person's path, person that He wants saved. So the words that I speak, taking advantage of an opportunity to show kindness and talk to someone, maybe just try to bring up something related to religion, asking about them, where they go to church, and we can lead into a discussion that might help us to be able to, in the future, have additional discussions with people that can bring about a change, a transformation for them. Paul spent his life trying to impact people in that way. Paul was certainly one called to suffer. Acts 9 and verse 16, the Lord said, "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." And you know, Paul, here's the thing that we can learn from him. He was never worried about what people would think when he told the truth. You know, Paul wouldn't be concerned about political correctness in our world today. He would go and he would powerfully preach the word, teach the word, just try to influence people wherever he went. You know, he went to the synagogues. He went to places where people were gathered together, like in Athens, and there were all these idols that people, you know, that he saw. And he took that opportunity to tell them. The saints that were persecuted in the first century, as we read in Acts chapter 8, after the death of Stephen, that persecution arose and the church in general suffered this severe opposition. And when they were scattered and fled in different places, they continued doing what? What they already had been doing. Proclaiming a message. They weren't going to be intimidated. They weren't going to stop saying what they had been saying all along because people didn't want to hear it. And that's what we need to remember. There's a lot of things that our society doesn't want to hear. It will make people angry. Just the truth of it. Even when you convey it, concerned about them, trying to help them, trying to point them to life and bring them out of death and darkness. But even when we anticipate that, still we have to do it. It's like when we studied from Jeremiah, and God urges His people to speak the truth, whether they will hear it or whether they won't hear it. Really doesn't matter. Our job is to sow that seed. They determine what kind of soil they're going to be. We are called to a special work, the most important in all of the world. And so besides the other things that we do, let's make sure that we are fulfilling this holy purpose for which we are called. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 reminds us of the mindset that we, like Paul, need to have. Paul said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." We can't live life making people happy. Otherwise, we're not the friend of God anymore. And that's the temptation that exists for all of us. To refrain from telling people what they need to hear because of the expectation that they will not be favorable toward what we have to say. And so we have to strive to overcome that human weakness. Paul certainly stands before us as a model of one who didn't allow that fear to get in his way. And as a result, he did suffer for it. But then the final thing we notice just briefly here as we look at the last point in our lesson tonight is the need for us to really, really remember our calling, that we are, as God's people, all about in this life, because we, remember, We were bought at a price, the blood of God's Son. Therefore, we belong to Him. We are a purchased people. Our lives are not our own. So, in fact, we have to live as faithful servants of God, doing His will. So we must be diligent to study it, to learn it, to live our lives as living sacrifices. So every day my life should reflect some sort of an aspect of being a sacrifice to God, that I have done God's will today and laid some of the things that I wanted for me on the side here. And it might be matters of how I spend my time. It might be matters of, you know, what might bring me pleasure, but it might be against God's will. Put those aside. I'm about serving the purposes of God. It's the mindset that we need to have. We remember that we are not only to fulfill His purpose, but that we are, again, His people. So, being a people of God, being a part of the New Testament church, understanding we are separate from the churches of man, needs to, in our own minds, make us see clearly we then must be different in how we live life. In other words, how do we conduct our life in this world? You know, when you start looking into the ways of the world, sometimes you will see standards that are very different from God's standard. Sometimes you will see doctrines that result in a loosening so that people feel free to live and do things that God doesn't allow. We have the problem in our world today of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. People, a lot of people not even getting married. A lot of people and living together. A lot of people separating, divorcing unscripturally. You have people then that are marrying and they're of the same sex. You have all kinds of issues that relate to stances that we must consistently hold to because they are God's will, and not be influenced by the society in which we live. And again, not be afraid to speak out against them and help people to see that what they're doing is wrong. The unpopular message of repent is a message that still is needed desperately today. The only way to get people to come to the light is to show them, first of all, just how much in darkness that they are, so that they can see that they need to come to Christ, because He's the only means of finding healing and cleansing. And remember, His plan for us does involve suffering. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But remember, the suffering of life that you have to go through, that's a part of God's plan for your purification, for your betterment. Listen to the words that we'll close with tonight from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To what? An inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven, He says, for you. He says, concerning us, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Look at this that we have to hope for. An inheritance. Something laid up for us that will never be taken away. It will never fade away. But I need to explain something to you. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while. He says, keep that in mind. It's just for a little while. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials. He explains, though, the necessity of this, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. What is this fire? The hardships, the sufferings, the discouragements, the tests and trials of life. Being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the hardships that you have to go through, the suffering that is a part of God's plan to which you were called, includes this because God is making you what you need to be so that you can inherit eternal life. And then on that day that we look forward to, there is this praise. There is this honor and glory when Jesus is revealed again. This is going to be something like the world has never seen. And you as a Christian, a faithful child of God, honored by God, glorified by God, and praised by God, that's hard to imagine. God's going to praise me, praise you, and speak so highly to us, lift us and honor us. That's exactly what's going to happen. He speaks of Jesus Christ here in verse 8, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is what we're called to. A life to be lived for the Lord. A life filled with hope of an inheritance, wonderful things to come, but a life that does include hardships. But for the purpose, he says, of purification, so that you can be glorified one day before God and lay hold of what is the end result of your faith, salvation, eternal life in Jesus Christ. We are a called people, called to the greatest life, but it's a calling that we have to hold on to. Remember, the world is also calling. The world is calling us, pulling us. Satan uses that to try to get us to not be hearing the Lord so much anymore, and we can drift away from Him. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, hear the calling of God. He calls you through His blessed Word to find the salvation that you desperately need. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we know that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, we need Jesus Christ, the healing that He brings, the forgiveness of sins through Him. Faith, repentance, confession, baptism, that's God's plan. He calls you to obey these things, do these things, and then you are separated from this world of darkness. You're brought into a family where there is hope, and you look forward to the day of glorification and the receiving of your crown that awaits you. Don't drift away. And if you've been slipping, if you've been struggling, if you need the prayers of your brethren, if we can help you tonight, we encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.